1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I got Paul Lane on the line, and Paul's at Sears Point, which is a raceway in Northern California. Paul?
How are you?
Good. Paul, I wanted to talk a little bit about the project you're involved in, Target Zero.
I'd be very happy to. I think that Project Zero is going to be a utilized program, I think, for a lot of people in passenger cars.
Your background is in automobile racing?
I've raced stock cars, I've raced open wheel. I've seen, I think, how commuter traffic has increased, Phil, and we need to share the responsibility out there right now. There's a fuel shortage. The oil is not going to last forever. And what I've learned in competitive auto racing, I think we can apply to commuter traffic. And we're also going to ask people to share the responsibility. And if we can get this enforced, and that is written somehow into the vehicle code of the various states, we're halfway there, I think, to fuel conservation before too long, and we'll also be able to maybe start working on some alternative means of fuel.
Now, shared responsibility is a simple plan from what I understand, right?
Target Zero we have utilized in racing field for a lot of years, a method called drafting, and whereby a car can draft in behind another car. And why this method is perfect for today's drivers because it automatically conserves fuel. The car being drafted is not using as much fuel, but the car that is drafting the other car is a larger car.
All right, now drafting entails, as you just said, so I got to just kind of restate it for the audience.
Certainly.
One car in behind another car. The car in front is drafting that car along, right?
The rate of speed dictates how well you can do this, but yeah, you can draft another automobile. And it's a very simple matter of physics. The car in front is cutting down wind resistance. And by drafting in front and behind a bigger car that is using more fuel, you're saving fuel, and you're also adding more of a fuel responsibility to an individual who has seen fit, I guess. And I'm not trying to punish people, but I think it's time for them to share the responsibility.
So a bigger car, what do you mean by a larger car?
The car that is drafting the car behind it.
Yeah, I know, but that's going to be a larger car. You're asking people who are driving midsize and smaller cars?
If you're on the interstate and you're driving a smaller automobile, it's a midsize, four-cylinder, this kind of thing, and you see a larger vehicle, a sedan, an SUV, a recreational vehicle, or this kind of thing, you can draft in behind it. It'll save more fuel for you, and it will demand more fuel out of the larger vehicle. And what that, I think, will do is drive home the point to the larger vehicle that because he's decided, the owner of that car has decided to buy a large vehicle, even though we are facing terrible fuel shortages and a ever-dwindling supply of oil globally, even though we are looking at that, you've insisted on buying a bigger car. Well, take a look in the rearview mirror. Now you're drafting a car smaller than you. And that's going to get that gentleman to think, or that lady to think, a little bit harder about their next car purchase or the next lease. The smaller car, on the other hand, is rewarded for being a smaller, more fuel-efficient car, even saving more fuel by drafting in behind a car.
All right, now, so people don't understand, Paul, drafting necessitates, and I don't know a lot about auto racing, but drafting necessitates getting in rather close, doesn't it?
No, not at all.
Because the racing that I've seen, whether it's Daytona or even the IndyCar, the open wheel cars, those guys are in pretty tight behind each other.
Well, that's not necessary. Drafting doesn't necessitate getting any closer than a car length or two car lengths.
Well, then why do you see, when you're looking at Daytona, you're looking at one of those big stock car races, and you see guys drafting, they are really uptight, in tight, close behind the other car.
That's a lot of show-off stuff. They do that just when the fans get a thrill. I think a lot of NASCAR drivers have got pretty big egos, and they want to make it look like they're all, I guess.
That's kind of a showman stunt?
It's a stunt, yeah. I've been around those guys. They tend to be pretty egotistical and want to make it look like they're all, everything's dangerous and everything, but they don't have to do that.
So if I'm looking at NASCAR, just for my own purposes of viewing a race, and a guy needs to draft, he doesn't have to get that close.
No, he doesn't have to get that close. They do that to grandstand and show off and make themselves look, I guess, a little bit bigger than they are. No, drafting only necessitates, Phil, getting about a car length behind. And what happens is the wind resistance is cut down so that the car behind, the larger car, is pulled along almost like a suction cup, and it's sucked along through the you know, atmosphere and through the point, you know, through the planet atmosphere.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Paul Lane. The nickname in the race days was Paul Tubby Lane. You might remember Paul. And he is talking about utilizing a method that they've used in auto racing for quite some time called drafting. Doing that out on the interstates, doing that out on the freeway, is going to cut down the use of fuel for the cars that are being drafted, being pulled along, and will make larger cars that are doing the pulling spend more money on fuel. Now, let me ask you something. You don't say this is punitive, but it sounds punitive.
Well,
By punitive, I mean it sounds like you're punishing the owner of the larger car.
Well, in a way you are. In a way you're saying, if you insist on buying a larger, more inefficient automobile when it comes to fuel consumption, if you really insist on that and you want to buy that larger vehicle, even in spite of the fact that, you know, pulling oil out of the ground in the Middle East is causing all kinds of problems for this country, yeah, you're going to have to pay a price. And that means when you, every time you look in your rearview mirror, you're going to see a smaller four-banger, a six-banger, whatever, sitting there behind you, getting pulled along, getting drafted by you, because you wanted to be, you know, I don't want to judge anybody, Phil, but, you know, you want to be some kind of a big shot. Okay, be a big shot now, sucking some car along behind you. And
all right. Again, I'm concerned about this tailgating thing, but you're saying that's not necessary.
It is not. And I would tell people listening to your program right now, when you go out onto a freeway, if you're in a smaller car and you want to draft in behind a larger car, you do not need to get in any closer than one car length. When you look on TV and you see the automobile racing on television and you see the cars getting drafted and you see how close they are, that's just somebody trying to be a big shot and trying to look all like he's a hero. But that's not necessary at all.
When you think about the lives that have been lost in automobile racing, when you think about the some of the accidents, Dale Earnhardt and some of the great drivers, why would a driver take a chance like that?
You mean in the drafting field?
Yeah. Why would a guy...
Because these guys are out of control in terms of their ego. They think that they can't die. Not all of them, but a lot of them. I tried to break into NASCAR, and I would have been a great... I think I would have been a great NASCAR driver. It wasn't for the fact that these guys, I think, have big egos, and they didn't want to get beat, you know. And so ever since then, I've kind of watched them. I realize they got such big egos, they want to look all big and everything, but that's not the case.
So the way they draft out there on the speedway is getting in tight.
Yeah, it's just an ego stunt.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Will on the Phil Hendry Show with Paul Lane. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, what this guy's recommending that you do there is it's not only wrong, but it's dangerous.
Well, if you heard me, I said you don't get any closer than a car length.
Well, right. Well, for one thing, drafting a car, you know, the car behind...
Do you know anything about drafting, sir?
Yeah, it's the aerodynamics of the car behind.
No, but I mean, do you know what it is?
Yeah, and actually the car in the front also would see a gas mileage increase as well as the car in the rear, so you're wrong there.
No, no, apparently this gentleman doesn't know. When you're pulling more weight, you're using more fuel.
Right, but so, you're also, the car behind is getting its tail, you know, followed up close, and so it sees less resistance.
No, it's not. Nice try.
Yeah, well, aside from that, what you're asking people to do is just dangerous. You're going to...
No, sir,
you're gonna
don't get any closer than a car length.
And are you asking that more than one car draft?
You can get, at times, you can get up to four, five, six cars drafting, yeah.
Well, okay, well, that this gentleman's saying, what about, you got the lead car.
Right, but the lead car is the only one that's pulling everybody along, because that's the car that's cutting the wind resistance down. All the other cars are taking advantage of that.
Right, Well, you know, even aside from fuel economy, what you're asking people to do here, it's dangerous because you're going to encourage people to buy these little tin can cars then, and we're going to see people dying on the freeway because they're driving these unsafe little cars.
Well, no, they're not unsafe because all the cars are manufactured in our country, have certain safety standards. Apparently you haven't bought too many cars, sir, you'd understand these things.
Well, most certainly a small car is more dangerous than a large car.
No, not necessarily. Do you drive?
Yeah.
Well, I think once you get your license, you give me a call back.
Well, what was it about what that guy was saying?
Well, you're talking about these little cars are dangerous and everything. He's, you know, I understand that they're encouraging more people with Down syndrome to drive, but I'm...
Okay, I don't think he had Down syndrome.
Well, you could tell there's kind of almost like a Chinaman kind of a tinge to his voice.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul Lane, drafting. Perhaps you know what it is. It's a tactic. It's a technique used in auto racing whereby one car that is in the lead is used by the cars behind to draft. In other words, that car leads, other cars get in behind it, the lead car is cutting down the wind resistance, and the other cars get pulled along, if you will, thus saving on fuel and also the need to accelerate. Now, this man is recommending we do that on our freeways. A, you save your fuel if you're in a smaller car. B, you're punishing the guy in the larger car, making him pull your car because he bought a gas pig. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Be back with Paul Lane in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Right there.
All right, Paul Lane is with us. Drafting. It's used on the race courses of America, used on the race courses of the world. What drafting is you basically pull in behind a faster car using the wind, using the ability of that car to break the wind resistance, and you don't have to use as much fuel. So you're driving behind a faster car.
Phil, what you're doing is you're driving behind a car that is a bigger car. It's going to, like you said, diminish the wind resistance. It also is a car that is going to be able to, because of its size, pull you along. And also, you'll be saving fuel because you're in a smaller car and he's in a gas hog. So he's going to, you know, take his hits because he wanted to go out and get a gas hog. Well, now he's got to pull three cars behind him.
So three or four cars going to draft behind some guy in a big car.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, they've been doing this in the on the race courses of America. Should we start doing it out on our highways and on our freeways? Here's Brad. Brad, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling to say that I think it's a rather stupid idea. Because, you know, I drive a Cadillac, so I'm the guy out there in the gas hog, the big car.
Well, how do you mean stupid? I mean, if you're in a gas hog and I tuck in behind you, because I did race automobiles at one time.
Okay, so you tuck in behind me. You're in your small, say...
So let's say I'm in a little four-banger Toyota.
Okay, you're in a four-banger Toyota. We're going down the interstate doing 70, 75, 80, whatever, you know. And we start to pull a hill, your four-banger is going to get left behind my big V8.
If
you're not
going
to keep up.
If I tuck up tight enough. No, you're right, going up a hill, yeah. Okay.
If you tuck up tight enough, I'm going to gun my...
Unless I'm pulling what?
Unless you're pushing some nitrous in your car or something,
you
know.
No, if you're going up a hill, that's a whole different thing. I'm just talking about in normal traffic, sailing along at 70, 75, 80 miles an hour, I can get in a car length behind you. And guess what? I just got a free ride on Brad.
Well, you didn't get a free ride on me. It's not costing
and
me
plus,
anymore.
You'll be because you'll be paying more for gas. Because that's how dumb I am. I'll be saving on gas. You'll be paying more for gas because you're having to pull my rear end.
Well, okay, I'm not pulling you. The air resistance is not going to, for my car, I'm not going to make more air resistance against my car with you sucking.
There is a suction.
Yeah, there is a suction.
Okay, and it's getting sucked in.
Yeah, you're getting sucked in. You're going to save gas, but I'm not going to pay any more.
Well,
so yeah, it is a good idea.
Let me ask you guys. Well, let me ask him. Is he pulling you, or?
Yeah, by virtue of the fact that there is a suction, there's a suction cup effect. It's almost like having a hitch on your vehicle. He's pulling me. So yeah, that's going to cost him more money in gas.
Well, like I said, though, if you're that close, you're not going to keep up with me because I'm going to lay it down.
No, I don't. But I don't have to.
You know,
I don't have to use as much horsepower at a certain speed. I can take my foot off the accelerator.
No, come on.
No, it's true. At a certain speed,
I don't know about taking your foot
off. I'll be able to put my car in neutral.
You have to have a pretty aerodynamic Toyota.
I can put my... No, because I'm not using the aerodynamics of my car. I'm using the aerodynamics of your car. So I can put the car in neutral, take my foot off the accelerator...
And just get pulled along without using any acceleration?
That is correct, yes, sir.
I want to interrupt just for a second.
Go ahead,
that's
sir.
Only if the rear end of your car is a straight back rear end, like the NASCAR cars, where it'll actually push the rear end in. You know, you get your downforce.
Well,
if you've got a Volkswagen Beetle,
right,
that ain't going to happen.
I'll tell you, I've got a friend of mine who drafted another chap. This guy's in a sedan, like a Lincoln Town car. Drafted this guy, literally put the car in a neutral, pulled his foot off the gas, opened up an egg salad sandwich, and had his daughter working the wheel, and he's reading the sports page.
Come on, how can that be safe?
Well, it's not safe, but what I'm saying is, that's what you can do.
I think it's a silly idea.
And you're and then you're the guy, you're going to pull off at the Union Station or wherever, Sunoco, and have to gas that pig up, and I'll be waving, thanks a lot, as I head on down the freeway.
Well, I do got to say this, though. I'm not really driving a pig because I drive a newer model Cadillac. I'm on the interstate. I get 30 miles to the gallon, so not that bad.
What are you driving?
A DeVille. It's the big Cadillac.
That ain't no hog? I thought that thing was a pig.
It's not that big of a pig.
It's not a slop hog. All right.
Compared to a truck, I mean, I'm great.
Yeah, trucks. Well, you draft a truck, huh?
Oh, you draft a truck. You definitely. You see any kind of a truck, you've got to draft that thing. Because that guy, I saw a truck going down the road here the other day. It was one of those big Dodge Ram. And I said, man, is he asking for it. And I tucked right up in behind him.
All right, Brad, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Go over here to... Kevin. Hello, Kevin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Listen, this is a crazy idea. I am not fixing to put my wife and my kids in my Saturn and get behind some big SUV and him let up on the gas. I don't see any brake lights, and I run right up on him from a length and a half behind. It's not going to happen.
No. You're a length and a half behind, sir. That's plenty of time to react.
When I see no brake light, when all he does is have to let go, and I'm pulling draft on him so he slows down faster.
No. You are not accelerating as much, so you don't have... In other words, you're not dealing with your own horsepower.
Ability
to brake that vehicle is going to be much, much better. And you owe it to yourself when you see a big truck, some guy elevated off the ground with airplane tires, and he's got the big cowboy hat, and you say to yourself, boy, is he asking for it.
No, I'm not risking my wife and kids to his whim whether he's going to slow down, tap his brakes, rage, and see me in his rearview mirror. It's not going to happen. I'm not risking my kids.
What about the point that... If the guy lets off the gas, there are no brake lights.
That is correct,
right.
Yes.
Okay, so you can't see if that guy's slowing down.
No, but the point is, in drafting, when he lets off the gas, you automatically are going to slow down because of the suck. You've got a semi-vacuum between the two cars.
But it's
almost like one unit. It's like one unit. So when he slows down, your car is going to slow. If he brakes, you pull off to the left or the right, and you're going to fly right by him. If you've seen racing on television...
If there's an opening, and I'm not risking my kids hoping there's an opening, his big vehicle with as much wind resistance he's going to have is going to slow down much faster than my Saturn.
Right.
And I'm not fixing to just run right into him.
That's when you pull the wheel to one side or the other, and you slide by him like you are greased crap.
listen, everybody out there doesn't have the skills of a NASCAR driver to
draft. That's
going to be wrecks everywhere.
You're asking people to have the split second, because that's what those guys in NASCAR do.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if you want to keep letting an Arab tell you when and how you go to the store for a Starbucks, I'm telling you, this is a surefire way of doing it.
Nah, I just can't see it. I can't see it.
All right, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to former race car driver Paul Tubby Lane. Drafting. They do it in automobile racing. Why don't we do it out on the freeways? It'll save our fuel. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Paul Lane, and we're talking about drafting. What is drafting? It's the technique used in automobile racing where you get in behind a faster car using that automobile's ability to cut down the wind resistance. You're drafting in behind that car. You're not using as much of your own fuel. You're not using as much of your own horsepower. You're allowing that other car to kind of pull you along. Now, they do it in racing. And they do it at very, very close quarters, and you say that that's just show-off stuff.
Well, yeah, when you see on a television, Phil, a NASCAR race, I don't care whether it's Busch Series, could be Winston Cup Series, what have you, and you see them tucking in real close, those guys just think they're big shots, and they're just trying to, they're doing that for effect. You don't need to draft closer than maybe a half a car length. So you get in about a half a car length behind a big truck or a big SUV, and when you see them decelerate or slow down at all, pull the wheel very quickly to the right or pull the wheel very quickly to the left, and you slingshot past them. So you have saved yourself an enormous amount of horsepower, wear and tear in your engine, and you've got to be quick. And that's why I tell a lot of our senior citizens, you know, I know that you don't have a choice because you have to draft. So, you know, I hope to God you know what you're doing, but when you pull that wheel left or right, you will tear by them like they are standing still, like they are a dead fly, like I like to say they're a dead fly on a turd. You know, you just, boom. And
well, what do you mean when you talk to the senior citizens about this, that you must draft?
Well, I'm just telling them, if you want to, I tell the senior citizens, if you're looking for fuel economy and you want to save money, one of the things to do is to draft. And we did have, you know, one death out here at the racing school.
That was a situation where you had a senior citizen driver, an elderly woman, correct?
Yes.
And she was drafting in behind a bus.
That is correct, yes.
And then you had her pull the wheel, and she, what happened?
She lost control of the car. But I had told her, pull the wheel, she wouldn't do it. So that's when I pulled the wheel for her. And we left the roadway. I can tell you that we left the roadway at about 70 miles an hour, about 70, 80 miles an hour. So she did get the desired effect of speed, but she lost control of the car. We left the roadway at 80 miles an hour. We were airborne probably about 4.5-5 seconds. And unfortunately, her side of the windshield was not reinforced. And she did exit the vehicle.
Was she wearing a seatbelt?
She was wearing a seatbelt. I don't know. I had loosened it for her because she didn't want it. She was uncomfortable, so I said, well, hell, let's just take it off for a minute. And I was about to put it back on her when the car did leave the roadway. It did get airborne. But again, you got to know what you're doing out there.
Well, okay, so there's an example of somebody dying as the result of drafting.
Right. Well, because she was not doing it properly. That's all I'm saying. Now, I'm a former automobile racer, and I can tell you right now, when you see a guy in a big truck, and you know he's begging for it, tuck up in behind him, draft, and you're on easy street.
1-800-449-8686. Philip, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I just think that's a bad idea. I hear he's a professional driver, and he's on a racetrack with other professional drivers. Out here on the road, you have people of varying skill levels. You have people that drive once every weekend or once every blue moon. You have people on cell phones. You have people trying to do their hair and their makeup. You have people trying to shave on their way to work and drive. All that is, you have people listening to radio.
Well,
all
I mean, that is, are you doing any of that, sir?
No, I don't. I'm
okay.
A professional driver myself. I'm a truck driver.
All right, so therefore you don't have to worry about that. Well,
yes,
you're a truck driver.
Yes, I do have to worry about that because I have to maneuver with these people with varying skill levels out here on this road.
Well,
and I don't think it's a good idea to ask Grandma to do any drafting at 60 miles an hour. One car length is not enough.
No, I'm just saying to her, if she's drafted in behind you, and you know a truck, you can get a lot of wind resistance going on a truck. She's drafted in behind you. And
no, a truck
is drafting in behind me, and a deer jumps out in front of me, and I have to slam on my brakes.
Then she pulls the wheel. Then she pulls the wheel either left or right.
And she pulls the wheel to the left or right. Okay, suppose there's traffic. At that speed, you don't really have a whole lot of time to check your rearview mirror because you're already only one car length behind this truck.
That's true, sir. That's true. But because of the suction effect. If, for instance, Philip, you are forced
all these conditions that you're talking about are race car conditions. That would be like me asking you, do you think it's possible for you to make a touchdown against a professional NFL defensive team?
If you give me the right play and the right equipment, and
the play and the equipment is irrelevant. It's skill level.
Well, wait a second. If
you got people who do this for a living every day. You got people 300 pounds that can run 100 yards in the time it takes you
right, but
to brush your
does he have my quickness? Does he have my if I
no,
put a move on him?
No, he's going to be a lot quicker than you.
If I put a move on a big fat guy, if I put a move on him.
Wait a minute. Some of these big fat guys are running the 40 in under 4 seconds.
That's right.
Well, all I'm trying to say to you, Philip, is you got an old lady behind you. She's drafted in good and tight. She's sucked in. Now, you decelerate for whatever reason. The suction, the vacuum effect will slingshot her out so quick that even if there is traffic, she'll be able to just, you know, get right in there.
Well, I would say, going back to my swing class, I would say that if there's a vacuum in between my bumper and her front bumper and I put on my brakes, there's nothing stopping her from running right in.
Yes, there is. The vacuum is. A vacuum is a vacuum, okay?
A vacuum sucks. It doesn't blow.
Well, I'll tell you what. No, you don't. Look, she would be making flames with her tires, and she'd go by you like a rat with its rear end on fire.
The minute she turned out from behind me, she'd meet the wind resistance that I had been eliminating for her.
No, she would be slingshotted out and would go by you like white lightning through a snake's rear end. Now, I'm telling you that because I'm a professional automobile race car driver person. And you're just hauling, what do you know? You're hauling, you know, sofa. You're hauling mattresses.
I'm a professional driver.
Well, that's true, but you're not out on a hot
road. 11 hours.
Are you sucking in behind anybody? No.
What do you mean, is he sucking in behind anybody?
Well, he's not going to be drafting another truck.
All right. Philip, thank you for your call, sir. And I think there is a safety concern here. And
well, what you're doing now is you're getting a lot of people on the air who are just scared of driving. See, most people are afraid of being out on a freeway. You throw any new thing at them, and they're scared. Man, they are scared. They are wetting themselves. They're shaking and quivering. And, oh, what are you talking about now? A whole new deal? And I'm going, no, I'm talking about if you know what you're doing out on a freeway. And I know a lot of people don't know what they're doing. But if you do, you can draft in at the right moment, turn left, turn right. You will slingshot out. And if you have full control of the car, you will sail down the freeway with your foot off the accelerator and your feet up on the dash.
Your feet on the dash?
Yes, sir. And you can unwrap a sandwich, you can have a snack, relax with a book. It's great.
See, I don't...
Well, Phil, it's very technical stuff. I knew a guy who slingshotted out from behind a big semi on his way between Portland, Oregon and Chicago, and he got slung out. After this guy decelerated, he slingshotted out. He catnapped. Now, I'm not saying he literally kept, but he did get some REM sleep.
What are you, behind the wheel of the car?
Yes, sir, because there's no need to hit the gas.
Well, you got to be seeing where you're going.
Well, I'm saying, if you got your kid or someone holding the wheel, you can get a little bit of REM sleep while the car just sails. Your foot's off the accelerator. Now, if you're an old person, yeah, you're right. You may lose control, and you may suddenly find yourself airborne. But, you know, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I think it's pretty dangerous is the thing that we would say about it. I'm going to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. He got REM sleep. It's Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio's Speed Trap. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And you do need to know what you're doing.
All right, Paul Lane with us for the last few minutes here on the idea of using drafting, which is used in automobile racing, on the freeways, getting close behind the car in front of you, using that car's power, that car's acceleration, that car's gas consumption, a bigger car, meaning it's going to have more fuel to burn.
That is correct, Phil. And again, when you see someone out there in an automobile that burns a lot of fuel. And they're basically rubbing everybody's face in it, saying, yeah, I use a lot of gas and I don't care. And you say to yourself, oh, man, boy, would I love to, you know. So you get up behind that guy, use that, and then slingshot. And you can put your feet on the dashboard for at least probably a quarter mile.
That's how fast,
yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Eric?
Yeah.
Go ahead,
hello.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, I just have to say that I'm feeling very uncomfortable hearing this NASCAR professional driver suggest to the public that they cut down the amount of space between them and the car in front of them, especially, specifically on highway conditions. I was an EMT, emergency medical technician. And let me just tell you, folks, like Philip said, Philip's a professional truck driver. This guy says, oh, I don't know what to say about going airborne. He says to turn the wheel left, turn the wheel right. People, please, be very careful. You want to give yourself space, not speed, okay?
Well, yeah,
it makes no sense, this person suggesting that you draft semis on the freeway. I have seen cerebral spinal fluid. That's the fluid that keeps your brain in your head leaking from the nose and from the ears of people who have been involved in motor vehicle accidents because they have been driving.
Were they drafting properly?
Unsafe. No, it has nothing to do with drafting.
All right, did they slingshot properly?
Drafting does not belong on the public freeway. And it is highly irresponsible of your guests to be speaking on the public airway encouraging.
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. Let me jump in here, gentlemen. This man who works as an emergency medical technician is saying, especially behind a semi.
No, Phil, look, if you don't know what you're doing out on a freeway, you shouldn't be out on that thing. And I agree with the gentleman, but I'm saying, boy, Eric, I know what you do for a living, and it's different from what I do, but, man, there's nothing prettier than you get in behind a semi doing 70, and you all you got to do is just give that wheel a tickle over to the left.
No wheel on the dashboard,
gone.
No REM sleep. This is absolutely, you are scaring the crap out of me.
Wait a second. I'm not trying to say this is unsafe. I'm trying to save our country from this criminal consumption of fuel and the elimination of fossil fuels on the planet.
But in the process, you've got some old lady that was being taught this technique being thrown from the car.
Well,
okay, listen, I'd like to let the show go on. I think I've made my point clear. This man is really scaring me.
Do you know how long it takes to get from the city of Los Angeles to the city of San Diego? 2 hours.
Sir, none of this. Look, on the highway, there's only one way to drive.
You suck up and behind a Ford Dodge Ram.
Folks,
and you can make San Diego in an hour and a half.
Sir, you have a dead life on your hands. How can you continue to be talking to me like this?
What are you talking about?
A lady died.
A woman died. You were trying to show her some cockamamie maneuver. folks, it's one car length per 10 miles an hour. Please, be safe.
All right, exactly.
Forget about drafting. Is it worth 10
here.
Bucks?
Everything was going perfect with her until she left the roadway.
Sir, look, what you're saying is very scary for me, and I'm sure for countless other callers. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
calling, letting my voice
Eric.
Be heard.
Well,
thank you.
If the lady hadn't gone airborne, she would have been in... Let's say she's going from L.A. to San Diego. If she hadn't gotten air and left the roadway, she would have been in San Diego.
Yeah, in an hour and a half. But she didn't get to San Diego in an hour and a half. She got airborne into a freaking bean field.
I can't comment on that.
Well, you should comment on the fact that the lady was sent flying through the windshield in the middle of an agricultural area.
It was greenbelt, I will give you that.
Okay, great. So it was greenbelt, so whatever.
Well, at least other lives were not endangered.
Yeah, okay. What a nut. She got airborne in a greenbelt. All right, that's Paul Lane, a race car driver. I just don't know whether or not the techniques used by automobile professional racing drivers should be used on our freeways. Drafting, especially. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You can get sucked out of the windshield is all I'm saying. So that's why. What happened to her?
The old lady that you were teaching, you were drafting a truck, right?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
All right. So now what happens?
Because she didn't have her seatbelt on and because there was a defect in the windshield, the suction created between the truck and the car sucked her out of the seat. And that's when the car, I said, swing it left. She swung it left. She got sucked out. Now I'm airborne with nobody sitting in the driver. It's just very emotional for me. I'm sorry.
I can understand that.
I mean, I'm not used to losing somebody like that.
So now you're airborne and there's nobody in the driver's seat.
That is correct. And I can tell you the photograph that I saw, which was taken from a ground level camera, you could see my hair.
Yes, sir.
You could see my hair streaming behind me, and I was like just my mouth open with a scream. And I don't know how it happened that we come down. Everything was okay, but they found her. She was down, like I said, this is a bean field area. And she was out in an area where they collect the beans, dry them, and then eventually pack them off to market.
It's too bad, man.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. It's just the way you're telling the story. I'm sorry to hear that. I don't think drafting, though, is the answer for today's commuter, perhaps in the future.
Okay, then why'd you have me on for an hour, you douche?
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare.